Welcome into the Poetry Tavern, a place to discuss both reading and writing poetry, spotlighting new poems and ideas every week. Hello all, and welcome into another episode of the Poetry Tavern. I'm your host, as always, Charlotte. This week's episode is going to be all about Rome. When I googled the number 44, it came up with a lot of information about like the 44th Roman Empire or Legion. And I was like, ooh, it could be really interesting to focus on, like, a city, but also one that's not, you know, a place of great renown. I think when I think of Rome now, I think about, like, oh yeah, it's that place that still exists, but then there's that funny thing of, like, oh, every man thinks every day about the Roman Empire joke, and, like, people saying that a thing is their Roman Empire if they think about it every day. But yeah, so I just think it's interesting that there's that sort of like dichotomy of like this is a tourist destination versus this was once a great and like historic thing. But I suppose a lot of great and historic things become tourist destinations. I'll think on that and I'll get back to you guys. Anyway, let's dive in before I talk about my thoughts on tourism anymore. Okay, so our first poem today is Return to Rome by Stanley Moss. Today in Rome, heading down Michelangelo's Spanish steps under an unchanging moon, I held on to the balustrade, grateful for his giving me a hand. All for love, I stumbled over the past as if it were on my own feet. Here in my 20s, I was lost in love and poetry. Along the Tiber, I made up Cubist Shakespearean games. In writing, even in those days, I cannot say it was popular to have subjects any more than painters use sitters, but I did. I played with an ignorant mirror for an audience, myself embroiled personae from Antony and Cleopatra, delusions of grandeur. They were for a time my foul weather friends, as once I played with soldiers on the mountain's countryside of a purple blanket. So, as much as this poem is, like, about Rome, its central thing is, like, a remembrance of a time when the writer was younger. At the end of the version of the poem that I have, it just has written 2002, and then this is from a collection from 2003. So, I think it's, like, originally from this collection. So, he wrote 2002 at the end, because that's part of the poem. But it wasn't published until 2003. I think it's an indication of, like, this is when I'm having this remembrance. It doesn't specify how long ago he was 20. But, like, I love the idea of this, like, young man in Rome having all of these, like, what he thinks are big thoughts and, like, coming up with games based around Shakespeare and thinking about Antony and Cleopatra in a really, like, personal way. Just, there's something about this person who, like, I feel like I know them. But it's very much contrast to the thing of the beginning of, like, the streets give me a hand and I need help. And I am stumbling here over a past that isn't me anymore. Like, it feels very distant, the, like, first couple of lines from the rest of it. Like, the speaker even calls all of these things delusions of grandeur and playing with soldiers on the mountainside of, just, like, it's just, like, this really lovely, I don't know how to explain more what's going on in my head when I'm, like, reading this, but there's something so different about this kid to the person at the beginning who is enjoying the steps and not thinking much more of it other than, like, this is a thing that helps me. And, like, that's what we get about the steps. Then Michelangelo's steps and he, in putting them here, helped me to get down them. Like, just, yeah, I just think there's such a difference between the two. It's really interesting. Okay, so the next poem we're going to talk about today is The Children of Rome by Lewis Turco. The children suckle at the wolf. All paths lead to these seven hills, where lambs and the goats graze among old stone. The saints, the orators, have quarried flesh here from the centuries. The flocks have been known to rise, their soft lips furling from the white edge of their hunger, maddened by the wine let from their very veins, to butcher the butcher in his charnel house. The ages age in this abattoir of catacombs and naves, hours, sins, toils of the ambitious, flags, fish, and crucifixions. You shepherds, consider these roads, these ewes and rams, the lambs shorn to clothe highly holy Tibur in ragwear, Romulus tearing at the wolf's dugs, eyes afire. Consider Remus, his hands crooked in the foul hair of the mother of us all. So obviously, like, part of the core of this poem is the story of Romulus and Remus and, like, the formation of Rome, and them as children of Rome, and just, like, there is something very brutal about this poem, that is just, like, you know how the story, like, if you know the story, you know that it ends with Romulus killing Remus, or, like, someone who follows Romulus killing Remus for his insults to the grounds of what would eventually become Rome. And just, like, this, it's just so cool. But just starting it with the children, circle at the wolf, and if you're thinking about Rome and you're thinking about Romulus and Remus already, when it's children and wolves and you're thinking about Rome, and just, like, this, the idea that these two brothers who, like, did this whole thing where they gained supporters and they, like, had whole followings and they instated a king and, like, worked with their, it just, like, is so, there's, it's a really interesting story is what I'm saying, and this poem is so interesting for its, like, it doesn't tell you the story at all. And in fact, it almost seems, like, targeted at Romulus and Remus and being like, look at the world around you and what's going on. Especially, like, you shepherds, consider these roads, these ewes and rams, the lambs shorn to clothe holy Tibur in ragwear. Like, it blatantly mentions Romulus in a way that's just, like, makes him come across as violent. And I think the interpretation here is that this is a version of the story where Romulus is the one to kill Remus. And historically, like, brothers killing each other has always been, like, the first murder or whatever. And just, but then it compares Romulus and Remus not only to, it calls them shepherds, which they are, but it talks about them being wolves, and they were, like, raised by a wolf, almost. I mean, they were suckled on a wolf, so they were, like, they drank from a wolf's milk as they were raised, and, like, they still have that within them. Just, there's so many interesting things in this, and if I had, like, I don't know, if someone gave me a reason, if someone was like, oh my god, I want to read all of your thoughts about this poem, I would sit and write them down, and I would bring them a highlighted copy, and it would be scribbled on and maybe ruined for anyone else to read, because all of my thoughts would be all over it. And I think it would require me to do research, and, like, that would be so much fun, but not for this podcast, and I'm already going way over time talking about Romulus and Remus, which I think is just a really cool part of Greek mythology. Anyway, I'll draw back in. That brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you guys for coming into the tavern today. I really appreciate it. Next episode, episode 45, is going to be all about radio. I looked up the number 45, as I have been doing recently. I think it's giving me a nice sort of scattershot varied, like, themes. Whereas before it was sort of like chaining, and I was just doing a random generator at one point, and it was being like, here's some really generic words. This is giving me something a little bit more specific. It kept giving me a radio station, so I'm going to do radio. So we'll see where we go from there. Thanks guys for coming in. See ya. Bye.